And the Big K, Big Three, presented by Galise Services. Visit galise.com. Larry Richard with Paul Rasmussen. The heat is still, and looks like it will remain, a top story through the rest of this week. We are approaching a record high today. That is 98, set in 1948, and AccuWeather saying 95 degrees, and with that humidity, it is very uncomfortable outside. And you also mentioned, Paul, in your newscast, that smell, rotten eggs.
What about that smell, huh?
Yeah.
I guess there are certain areas in town where the sulfur smell is pretty high. Hydrogen sulfide levels are going up because there's an inversion, a temperature inversion holding them down. That's the same thing that creates more ozone, right? So that's a side effect, I guess.
Yeah, and I remember growing up here, that used to be a daily smell in many communities, especially J&L over there where the Southside Works is, all of South Oakland.
I would assume Clairton is one of the areas where this would be more prominent than others.
And that said, there is also the potential for some heavy, gusty thunderstorm activities. We've seen some damage that it's done in Michigan. They have 365,000 people without power due to the thunderstorms that move through their area that are heading this way.
And just a few hours ago, I was looking at the radar, and there was an arc of heavy thunderstorms moving through Michigan toward Detroit, and I wondered how much of that is going to make it over here. And as usual, not much of it, but we still could have that today. And then there's even the possibility, I guess, tonight too, right?
Yeah, so AccuWeather cautioning that if we get those thunderstorms, they could be severe, and we'll get the official word from the National Weather Service, and we post those here since KDK Radio is the official emergency broadcast station for the region.
When do you have Joe Lundberg lined up?
In a half an hour.
Great.
So we'll
the latest from State College on that.
Yeah, we'll tase him till we get the answers we want. Like, when is it going to cool up? And how about the weekend? I mean, it looks like Sunday and Monday are spectacular in terms of the weather. Saturday, still the threat of some showers and thunderstorms in between here and there. That's going to be the case. But temperatures will be much more tolerable over the Labor Day weekend.
Oh, let me tell you what. Labor Day looks like we're in San Diego. Cooler, pleasant, periods of clouds and sun, 71. Yes.
I'll take it.
That's a perfect parade condition, right?
That said, Dr. Wayne Walter, superintendent of Pittsburgh Public Schools, posted this note. Quote, ensuring the health and safety of our students and staff is our top priority. By adjusting our schedule, we're taking proactive steps to manage the heat and maintain a conducive learning environment that supports our students and families during the back-to-school transition, meaning 37 are on a half-day schedule today in the Pittsburgh Public School System, and they're not alone. There are some other school districts with some modified schedules, too, including Shaler.
Also, Freedom Area, New Kensington, Arnold. I'm sure there are others. It's just an example of what's going on. People are either dismissing early or adjusting the schedule in some way so they can get the kids out of there before noon.
And by the way, in Pittsburgh Public Schools, which came back on Monday, the kindergarten comes back tomorrow. And so we'll see if they have to maintain a half-day schedule tomorrow. But for the moment, it's just today. And if you'd like me to read the entire list, no thank you. I'm not going to read 37 schools. We did that for many years. Remember school closings and delays?
Oh, wow. On the other hand, I did learn how to say St. Irenaeus.
Well, you know what? Shumway once, Bishop Zubik was on with us, and we joked that we should have him come on and do guest closings and delays for the Catholic schools. And he started laughing, and then Shumway asked him, "How do you? Who was Saint Irenaeus?" And there was a long pause. Shumway got the bishop on that one. He had to look it up. That's funny.
That's John for you.
Meanwhile,
it's really it's one of the most curious people I've met.
The other people talk Shumway.
I mean, you look at Nebbie in the phone book, and his John, name is right next to it.
John was great. I spent 20 years with John Shumway, 4 on TV, 16 here in the morning, and he's still on. And John's a great guy, very smart and very diligent about details.
Tell me about it.
I used to joke, Shumway, you were Google before Google.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Steelers have made their cuts 4 o'clock was the deadline yesterday for NFL teams to break down to their 53-man roster. And in our 8 o'clock hour, our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, is going to join us. To me, there's no great surprises. You kind of figured, well, you certainly knew Russell Wilson and Justin Fields were going to be 1-2 quarterbacks, and then they kept Kyle Allen, who I thought did pretty good, an entire new season for the quarterback room for the Steelers.
Unless things go very badly, Kyle Allen will not have to worry about doing much other than holding a clipboard.
So here's what happens. They get down to this 53-man roster, and then they will decide some of those guys will be kept on the practice squad. And one of those was this rookie quarterback who didn't play quarterback for the Steelers. He was a kick returner, John Rhys Plumlee, who was the team's leading kick returner in the 3-game preseason. He was released, but that looks like they're going to bring him back on the practice squad. Other than that, I didn't see any major changes for if you've been following the team in the early going. But after the 90-man roster they have at camp, that's a significant number of guys that are without jobs.
What's the new punter's name who's doing so well? He's good.
He's from Ohio State. And so they kept Chris Boswell. Chris has been, you know, steady. His name is Johnston, Cameron Johnston. And I thought he did a good job over the weekend. Well, through the course of the preseason. Yeah, I'm looking at the list. He's from Ohio State, so we got a new punter. And our last punter, Presley Harvin, had some challenges, and so...
That's being fair.
So they decided to go with the new guy. So I'm trying to look at his stats, but, punters are punters. They kick. I can't kick. And those are your top stories.
Also, for those of you who are watching on our, what do we call it? The radio live stream, the KDK radio live stream on our website.
Yeah.
People, we have people watching all the time. If you're wondering what's going on with me while I'm moving around and it looks like I'm not paying attention to Larry, it's because I spilled some coffee on my leg.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
I thought you had some kind of itch issue.
I don't know what happened. I've got one of these, you know, thermoses, and it's supposed to be spill-proof, but apparently not.
Thank God you're all right.
Thank you for sharing your concern, Larry.
You can see Paul at our video stream at kdkradio.com.
Not that anyone would really want to look.
But... Really? I know, they really push this thing, and we appreciate it, but, you know, if you listen, that's okay, too. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA Traffic powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. You can't see Ellen, though. She's still hiding from us.
I am. But that's good for the listeners/viewers, honestly. At this hour of the morning, it's a blessing. Okay, so Parkway West inbound, not so much a blessing. I do apologize. We have an earlier accident being cleared from the right shoulder. This is inbound between the top of Green Tree Hill and the Parkway Center Mall area. Everybody's getting by in two lanes of traffic, but with all the pretty flashing lights, everybody's slowing down to take a look at what's going on there. Of course, being mindful of the emergency crews who are working that scene as well. Backups greet you before the top of Green Tree Hill on that one. The outbound ride toward the airport is okay so far this morning, folks. In Plum Borough, crews on the scene of an accident, Old Frankstown Road at Balkan Drive. Also on Route 51, we have an accident this near the intersection with Bowsman. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 625. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
Thanks, Ellen. Yeah, 95 will be our high today, and we have the potential for some thunderstorm activity. We're going to check in with our meteorologist, Joe Lundberg, shortly. And right now we're at 73 degrees. This weather update brought to you by UPMC. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule your heart screening at UPMC today. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. And it's more than just that. It's now a great way to communicate with us with voice messaging. All you have to do is tap the microphone on the KDKA page, and you can leave us a voice message that electronically goes into an accessible folder that Aaron, our producer, has access to, and periodically we'll ask for your opinions and always want to hear from you. So Odyssey, that's a free app, and you can listen to us, take us with you again wherever you go.
You know, if you've been thinking, I'd like to call, but I don't have time, or I'm driving in the car or whatever, and then you have a chance later, you can give us a piece of your mind.
Yeah, holler at us. I don't care. Hit that mic.
Not everybody wants to call and wait online to get on the air.
Yeah, and you know, we would love to hear from you. So you can call us anytime, too, 866-391-1020. If you see something, let us know about it. Did you see this video over Germany, these lights that were streaking across the sky? It looked like space junk burning up in the atmosphere.
No, what about it?
Oh, yeah. Periodically, this happens, but I just saw a video, and this isn't just a streaking, you know, shooting star, which isn't really a star, you know, asteroids or meteorites or whatever's crossing.
This looks like something burning up.
It's very clear.
Yeah.
I'll show it to you. They're not exactly sure what it is, but they think it's space junk burning up in the atmosphere.
Thank goodness space junk does burn up in the atmosphere.
Otherwise, and sometimes it makes its way all the way to the surface.
Take, for example, the Space Lab. Remember that back in the 70s?
Yeah, we had to worry about Skylab is falling.
Or no, Skylab, that's what it was, Skylab. I think pieces of it actually did wind up making it down.
But there have been incidents where things have fallen off a passenger jet or whatever, and sometimes makes its way to the surface, and you know, mostly the Earth's surface is water, so it's not usually a big issue. But sometimes we've seen damage where it goes through a roof, through several floors. Not to add any anxiety to your morning. Don't worry about it. I'm sure there's nothing floating out there that's going to hit. Right now, all you care about is the heat. And it is unusually warm for Pittsburgh at this time. Where are we? At 73 degrees.
Yeah, 73.
And we'll be approaching a record high of 98 today.
I found the wiki page on Skylab, by the way. It says, Skylab's impending demise in 1979 was an international media event with T-shirts and hats printed with bullseyes on them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's so rich. I'm going to...
They did find... By the way, one guy found like 24 different pieces of Skylab at his home. Several pieces of it made it back.
Add that to your list.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, there's a lot of space junk up there. There is. I mean, we leave a lot of stuff up there.
It amazes me that they don't have more like collisions in space between like satellites or having debris hit the International Space Station. How do they keep it all organized? There's tens of thousands of objects up there now.
And next hour, we'll talk about blue ice.
No, we're not going to talk about blue ice.
6:25 at KDK. By the way, it is, you know how we have days of the, you know, every day is some special day?
Mm-hmm.
We're all special. Today is National Red Wine Day.
Well.
Just thought I'd share that with
there's
you.
There's a happy thought. The password is Pinot Noir.
And it's Radio Commercials Day.
Well,
so we got you covered.
We specialize in that.
We got you covered. Okay, morning show, Larry Richard with our anchor man, Paul Rasmussen. Obviously, the heat is our top story, and people dealing with the heat as we approach a record high of 98 today. And we know that 37 school facilities in the Pittsburgh public school system are on a half day, and some others, including Chandler District, have also followed suit because they don't have air conditioning primarily. Joining us is Dr. Robert Mott, who's superintendent of the Manesson School District. Doc, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I know that you superintendents stay in touch with each other, and you've talked to some others in the region about dealing with the heat. First, how are you handling this in Manesson?
Yeah, we're pretty good in Manesson. You know, once I hear that, you know, we get a weather update from our IU, from the National Weather Service. I check in with our maintenance director, make sure our AC is running. Yesterday, our buildings were very good. It's actually pretty cold in both of our buildings, so we were pretty good, and that's where it stopped. But I know some other schools have had some AC problems, and some of these school classrooms can get pretty hot.
Yeah, and some of the school districts in their buildings, they don't have air conditioning at all, and they're monitoring the temperatures inside the classroom. At what point does that become an issue in terms of you would have to make some pretty radical change to let kids out of school in a half day?
I think when those temperatures exceed in the classroom, you know, close to 80 degrees, maybe mid 80s, that's pretty excessive. It's uncomfortable. It affects the learning environment, so students don't learn, and that's the main reason that they're dismissed early. I mean, we're here to learn, and if the learning environment can't be controlled or maintained, students, you know, shouldn't be there. So that's usually what happens.
I'm curious, while we have you, how does your school district handle cell phones, mobile phones in the classroom?
We use those, the Yonder bags. So students, every day they come in, they put their phones in a Yonder bag, and it's magnet shut, and they carry it with them. So we have a phone-free school learning environment. So students are not to use cell phones at all. And we just implemented that last year, and it is very effective. I am very pleased with what is happening with it. There's more engagement. Students are, there's less cyberbullying, obviously. You know, I'm extremely happy with the Yonder bags. They've been very effective for us.
I applaud you for this because I know as adults, if people have a phone in their hand, it's a distraction, and you're trying to do everything you can to teach kids. And in an environment like that, it's so important in a classroom that you pay attention as much as possible. We all know the realities of distractions, but that was one. Wow. You're my hero, Doc.
Well, thanks. Yeah, but it's, I wanted to thank the kids, the students, the faculty, our administration, Mr. Minetti, our high school principal. He's done a fabulous job with that. And, I think it's definitely going to affect the learning environment in a positive way.
Have you gotten any pushback from any parents that say, oh, I need to be able to contact my kids anytime, anywhere? Or if there would, God forbid, be a situation where there would be an emergency?
I would say a few. Most parents have been very supportive of this. But if there is a medical emergency or some type of emergency, the bags are magnet shut. And we have magnets throughout the building. And if you need to go to the nurse has the magnet. She will open the Yonder bag so you can get your phone, like, for example, for a diabetic. If there's an absolute emergency, you bring your Yonder bag to the office, and our secretary or our dean of students or our principal will unmagnet the bag so you can use it.
And conversely, how would a parent then be able to, if there was an emergency that way? The old school would be you'd call the principal's office, or you'd reach out that way and somebody would go get the kid.
Right. No, exactly. I mean, for you and I, like didn't have cell phones. So, we would just call the school and then we would find that student, bring the student to the office and then, you know, get them to where they need to be with their parents.
But I think day in, day out, that is an absolute win, and it'll help the kids learn more. And I'm sure the teachers and everybody else is thrilled. Let us know how this goes. I'll be curious, since this is the first year that you've instituted that. How expensive are these bags for other schools that may be considering it?
You know, I can't remember the exact. It's a little over 10 grand for all the bags. It depends on the size of the school. Like, we're a small school again, so we have about 600, well, 300 some kids at our high school. So if you have a large number of students, that price is going to increase. But I'm pretty sure Yonder has done a, where you can get a grant, you know, to get these bags.
Right.
So that's helpful too for those bigger schools.
Something to look into. Well, Doc, we appreciate your time. Good luck with the new school year. And thanks for sharing this morning.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
You got it, Dr. Robert Mott, superintendent of the Manesson School District. Coming up next, because of the heat and the potential for severe thunderstorms, we're going to go live to AccuWeather next on the Big K Morning Show. And let's go live to AccuWeather's world headquarters. Meteorologist Joe Lundberg. Joseph, good morning.
Hello there. Good morning.
So we'll be flirting with that 98-degree record for the day. However, above and beyond the heat, Joe, Paul and I were talking about the potential for severe weather. What's it look like over the next couple of days?
Well, I think we're kind of in the crosshairs of severe weather. If you look at the folks from the Storm Prediction Center, they pretty much have us right in the middle of their slight risk area. And I think for good reason. I mean, there's a front that's going to be coming out of the Great Lakes. It produced severe weather yesterday, really from portions of northern Missouri, Illinois, up into Chicago and Detroit, much of central and southern Michigan. And we're going to have the same kind of air mass that they did yesterday, mid-90s, with that front approaching. I just think there's going to be some thunderstorms, and anything this afternoon and into tonight has the potential to produce some damaging winds, hail, and flooding downpours.
Before I came to work, I was watching an arc of heavy thunderstorms moving south and east through Michigan toward Detroit, and I wondered to myself, what is that going to do here? And now I'm looking at the radar, and it's all kind of over Cleveland and heading more northeast. What can we expect today, and where are the storms, if we're going to see any? Where are they coming from?
Most of those have all but fallen apart. I mean, there's some light thunderstorms, nothing severe, you know, with that stuff that you mentioned on radar. And I kind of think that that stuff's going to continue to fall apart. But they produce these little boundaries, and those boundaries are things that the atmosphere likes to work on. So, you know, as it gets hotter, the air mass on the other side of the boundary might be a little cooler. It's a perfect place for thunderstorms to redevelop. So that's why I think that during the course of the afternoon hours, thunderstorms are going to flare up once again and then try to work their way through our area. Best chance of seeing those probably going to be mid to late afternoon or early tonight. So I would think that the evening commute is probably going to be more impacted than any other time with that threat of severe weather.
Joe, appreciate the update. Thank you. Stay cool, brother.
All right. Stay cool and beat the heat, my friend.
Joe Lundberg, our meteorologist in charge at AccuWeather headquarters on the Big K Morning Show. Every Wednesday at this time, we check in with another medical professional at Allegheny Health Network. This morning, it's Dr. Ercolano. Ercolano is an orthopedic surgeon, and this is Sarcoma Awareness Month. Doctor, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So what is sarcoma and what parts of the body can it affect?
Sure. So sarcoma, I guess then the easiest way to think about it is a cancer that arises from the tissue that kind of makes up our musculoskeletal system. So we group them into bone sarcomas and soft tissue sarcomas. And the bone ones come from bone, and the soft tissue refers to kind of everything else that's around the bones, muscles, tendons, ligaments, fat, blood vessels, nerves, all the other stuff that kind of makes our arms and legs and musculoskeletal system.
And how common is sarcoma, and what age groups or maybe genders do you see it most commonly?
They are actually very rare. We see them in two main age groups. Unfortunately, we do see sarcomas in children, and they make up probably about 20% of childhood malignancies. In adults, we tend to see them more in probably 60, 65 and older. And they can happen, you know, pretty evenly split in general. Some subtypes may have some slight predilections, but in general, they're very rare overall, and we see them in all body types and, you know, anyone, any age, any patient, and locations throughout the body can happen.
Are there common symptoms? Is there something that would be a red flag?
So for bone sarcomas, they usually present with pain and sometimes can be dismissed as, you know, an ankle sprain or something kind of run-of-the-mill. And so we always kind of counsel patients that if you have pain that isn't getting better with rest or kind of the simple things that we do first after an injury, to certainly seek out evaluation so that we can check. The soft tissue sarcomas can be a little bit harder because they actually don't hurt most of the time. And so it may just be a bump or a painless mass that you or even your family member has noticed that's new, that's growing. In that case, certainly you'd want to have it checked out.
And what are the current treatment options?
It varies. So certainly surgery, in some cases chemotherapy, including a lot of the newer agents that are now available, immune therapies and targeted therapies that aim directly at specific mutations in the tumor, And then radiation therapy is also still used. A lot of times we use a combination of all of those modalities.
And you can go to ahn.org or call 412-DOCTORS for more information. Dr. Lisa Urcolano, orthopedic surgeon with Allegheny Health Network. Thank you, doctor. Appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you. Have a good day.